We just pray that the word will come forth in the anointing, and the truth of your word will come forth and bring life to every heart that's here, that has an open heart to hear, we pray. And Lord, we ask you now to open the hearts of every one of these students. Father, that we will hear and that we will walk in your word. For we know that when we walk in your word, we are blessed. And Father, we thank you today because your grace is sufficient for every need. And even when there's problems, Lord, you help us to solve those problems because the problem solver is our God. We thank you today and we praise you. Now we just put this time in your hands and we thank you for the anointing of the precious Spirit that will flow now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Actually, when I was studying, getting ready for this, God just gave me some 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So actually, I'm going to give you 10 safeguards for your family, safeguarding your family. Genesis 1, 27 through 30 talks about God creating man and woman. And when he finished, he said it was excellent. One translation uses the word excellent. So the family is God's idea. And the home is Satan's number one target. Because when Satan destroys a home, many lives are hurt. And many times lives are destroyed. But we know that Satan came to do that. But our God sent Jesus to bring us life and to bring us that life abundantly. And he wants that life in your marriage as well. Not just in your life itself, but in your marriage, in your home, and in your children's homes. And I'd like to talk to you about Jude verse 20 and 21. Praying in the Spirit builds up your faith, and it also keeps you in the love of God. So it's important daily to pray in the Spirit for your marriage. You know, when you pray in the Spirit, and you're holding your marriage before the Lord, and you're praying in the Spirit, you just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring my marriage before you now. And just start praying in the Spirit. The Lord knows exactly what the need is, because the Holy Spirit tells him. And he will work. And also, your faith is built up to believe God and the love. You keep yourself in the love of God when you pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is very important. You receive creative ideas from God. You receive answers from God when you pray in the Spirit. So, number one, praying in the Spirit for your home and for your marriage. Number two, forgiveness. Forgiveness is a very important aspect in the home. Forgiveness has to be a way of life. Mark 11:25, you know the great faith scriptures are 23, 22, 24, all through there. But 25 says, if you stand praying and you have aught against your brother, you have to forgive if you're going to receive forgiveness. So forgiveness, it's a way of life. We have to walk in forgiveness daily. It's so important. Jesus said to forgive 70 times 7. And I believe that's even on a daily basis if we would have to do it that much. And his grace is sufficient. You know, he forgives us of everything and anything. And we should, through faith and through trusting him, be able to forgive others. And that applies to our home. That applies to our husband. That applies to our children. And that even applies to ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves. Satan would even cause us to try to hold things against ourselves and stay in condemnation. But that's not God. And we can't operate in love and in forgiveness and stay in condemnation. So we have to, by faith, forgive. It's an act of your will. It's a decision that you make to walk in that forgiveness. It's very important. And you know, when Satan comes to you with a lie or just a doubt or just any negative word about your children or your husband, when Satan comes with that, and even he'll try to bring division, you know, even through thoughts, making you think bad thoughts about your children or negative thoughts or even negative thoughts about your husband, well then, right then and there, you need to take that thought captive, bring it down, and immediately send out the love of God to your husband. Just in the Spirit, just say, Father, I just send love out to my husband. I thank you that you've given me a godly man. And maybe he isn't a godly man as yet, but you confess that and you pray that over him, and God will make him to become that. It's important to pray and to confess the right things. Then send love and blessings out. Send loving blessings. We know our children's faults so well because we live with them. We're their parents. Sometimes we're partly to blame for some of those faults, you know. But when we send out love and forgiveness to our children, it frees them to be able to be free, to move in God. When you hold unforgiveness in your heart, you're holding that person in bondage. So we must send out forgiveness and to free that person. Then send love and blessings out to your children and to your spouse. Refuse strife. James 3:16. It talks about strife. Where there's envying and strife, there's every evil work. And strife is one thing that Satan uses so much to bring into a home, to get a husband and wife into contention, and children also. And you know, I've come to think about strife like cancer. You know how cancer just eats away, and it's such a destructive thing. Strife is a very destructive thing. And so we should just think of strife like cancer. Run from it. Have nothing to do with it. And sometimes it takes a lot of courage just to say, I am not going to argue. I am not going to get into division with my husband. And don't allow your children to do that. Don't allow your children to argue and get into that, because that is, it's just giving place to Satan, and we don't want to do that. The Word says give Satan no place. So refuse strife. Think of strife as cancer. Refuse it. Refuse fear. You know, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Satan will try to bring all kinds of fears to you about your husband and about your children. He'll try to lie to a wife many times and tell her, your husband's not being faithful to you, or he really doesn't love you, or your children are not really what they should be. And, you know, something bad's going to happen to them. Something bad's going to happen to your marriage. That's Satan. Satan always brings the destructive thoughts and the destructive ideas to your mind. Refuse that. God has not given you that spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. And a sound mind thinks wholesome thoughts. So refuse fear. Choose to love. Love is a decision. Sometimes we think love is just some big emotion that we have, you know, that we have this wonderful warm feeling, and that's what love is. But love, we're commanded to do in the Word. John 13:34. God commands us to love. It's all through the little Johns, you know, how we're commanded. And that talks about our families, too. That's not just outsiders. We're to love, and we choose to love. Love is a decision. And I want to give you some scriptures to claim on love. Sometimes, you know, you feel like your love's grown thin, and you feel that it's really not working. But Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you. And see, when you pray in the Spirit, you're building that love up, and you're building that faith up. So it's important to choose to love. You hear the old saying sometimes with people in the secular world, well, you know, I just don't love my mate anymore. The love is gone. But that's not true. That wasn't true love to start with. You know, God loved us so much that when we were unlovable, he loved us anyway. And we have to choose to love. We have to choose that, because Jesus said to do it. It's one of his commandments. And you know, when you start changing, when you don't feel good about your mate, and you feel bad, and Satan is telling you, you don't love her, you don't feel like you used to, you don't have those little butterflies when you see that person coming down the hall like you used to do, you know. You don't have all those emotions that you did have. So what? You still choose to love, and you still continue to do the things. And when you change your behavior and you start doing loving, kind things for your mate, you'll find your feelings start lining up. You try it and you'll see. If you're married and you've had these things, you start ministering to your husband or your wife in love, and you start doing the kind things. Change your behavior toward them. Don't be cold and aloof and touchy and resentful. You know, don't allow that. But just let your behavior change like Jesus would act toward them. And when you start doing that, you'll find your feelings lining up too. So good. You know, God never does ask us to do something we can't do. He never does. Anything he's commanded us to do in the Word, he gives us the grace to do it. I thought there was another scripture here on love. Well, of course, Ephesians 5:2, walk in love. We know that that's such an important one. I want to talk to you about esteem. Esteem is number six. Esteem is a very important aspect to marriage. And we're commanded as wives in Ephesians 5:33 in the Amplified, when you look at the Amplified, to esteem our husbands. A husband is commanded to love his wife as Christ loved the church. But the wife is commanded to submit herself to her husband, to esteem him, to revere him, to defer to him, to all these things. And when you look at it in the Amplified, you get more understanding out of it. But when we esteem, we highly regard a person. And when we prize something highly, that's to esteem it. So when you esteem your husband, you're doing what the Word says to do. And I've read articles and read marriage counseling books that talks about if they can get a person, a husband or wife who are having trouble, to make a list even of your husband's or your wife's good points, something that you can esteem, you will start thinking positively about that person. And when you start thinking positively about them, that's a great deal, because you know the battle's right there so many times. That's where Satan comes to you. He comes against your mind. So when you start esteeming, you're doing what the Word says, and you're getting yourself ready to receive a blessing. Because as you sow esteem, you're going to reap it. And you know, there's something else too that I had read about that this is interesting to do. And there are times that we all need to do this. There are times when the love does kind of grow maybe a little thin. But if you'll just sit down one day when you have some quiet time to yourself, and you'll make a list of the things that you esteem in your mate, you'll be surprised sometimes at the things that are there to esteem. And then as you look at those positive things, you'll find more and more to esteem about them. It's important to do this. But a marriage counselor one day was dealing with a couple who'd been married for many years, and she thought that she no longer loved her husband, and she was ready for a divorce. They'd been married like 25 years or so. And so this marriage counselor said, "Well, I'm going to give you an assignment. I want you to do this, and then when you finish this list, I want you to come back, and then I want us to talk about it." So she went home to try to find something to esteem about her husband. And she thought and she thought and she thought. And then all of a sudden, she couldn't think of anything. All of a sudden, she thought of one thing. She liked the way he combed his hair. Can you believe that? And so she went back to the counselor. She started with that. She liked the way he combed his hair. He said, "Okay, now there's bound to be more than that. I want you to go home, and I want you to think of some more things that you can esteem in your husband." And so she went home again, and she thought and she thought. Apparently, a lot of bad water had gone under the bridge in this marriage. But she remembered how well that he managed the money during depression times. Well, that was a really good positive thing for her to think about. So she wrote that down, and she came back. And the counselor had her do this repeatedly until he got her mind into a positive thought process of her husband. And when she started thinking in a different way about her husband, the marriage started turning around. And do you know, wives, many times it does begin with us, because the wife is the bond of the home. She's the one that bonds everything together. See, a mother's place and a wife's place is a very important place. She has her own anointing from the Lord if she'll ask for it and receive it. And she's the one that bonds husband and children. She's the one that keeps things going a lot of times. And so it's up to us to create a good atmosphere in our homes for our husbands to come home to. Maybe you have had a difficult day, and maybe the children have been unruly, and maybe you do need your husband's support, but you're not to meet him at the door with all those negatives. Maybe he's had a rough day, and then when he walks in, you just crowd him down with all the negatives. Then that makes it difficult for him. So remember that the wife and the mother is the bond of the home, and if she'll start esteeming and she'll start thinking of the good things about her husband, then things will start changing and turning around. And there again, you will reap what you've sown. You sow those good seeds, you're going to reap it back. Your husband will esteem you. It may take some time, because some marriages have gotten into such ruts and they've gotten into such difficult places that they need time to change. But they will when we really put our trust in God. You know, Proverbs 14:1 says, "Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one plucks it down with her hands." And a wise woman, if she builds her house, one way that she builds it is with her words. And many, many women have torn their homes down and torn their children down with their words. So it's important for us to be wise women and build our house with wise words, with good words. Okay, another thing, actually I believe this is number 7. Don't panic. Many people go into marriage thinking that it's going to be just total and complete bliss. You know, that it's going to be heaven on earth. But these two people come together with personality differences, with background differences, and then they're going to live as one. And you know, the word says they become one flesh. It does not say that they are one flesh. And it takes a while to become. So remember that. That does not come overnight. It takes years many times. If a person's diligent, and both parties are diligent, it can come faster. But we can't panic when Satan comes against our homes with tests or with problems. We've got to stand firm. And you know, in 1 Peter 3, verse 6, and this is in the Amplified 2, it said that we can become like Sarah's daughters if we won't panic or give way to hysterical fears. See, a woman's nature a lot of times is to panic or to give way to fear. That's the way she's, many times, that's just her nature. So we have to watch and not let fear come in and not let that hysterical panic grip us and try to rule us, because that's just another aspect of fear, really. So don't panic. Don't think when the first little problem comes that my marriage is down the drain. Just think, this is a time for me to pray. This is a time for me to believe God. This is a time for me to stand on the Word, to put the Word out to work in my behalf, in our home's behalf, and I'm not going to panic. Just refuse it. There's also a scripture in John 14:27. This is in the Amplified too, that this has helped me so many times. I used to ask God, "Oh God, help me stop this. Stop this stuff right now, you know. Help me to, you know, just help me, Lord." And then one day, I was looking at this, and we were in very difficult times. And the Word says, stop allowing yourself to be agitated, disturbed, cowardly, unsettled, fearful, intimidated. Don't allow it. And I looked at that, and I read it again, and He said, don't allow it. Stop permitting it. And I realized, oh, God, you're not going to do it for me. I've got to do it for myself. So I had to stand up and I said, you know, Satan, you get out of here with all this stuff. I'm not having it. And, you know, he comes in so many subtle ways that many times we have to stop and realize, hey, this is Satan. Sometimes we think it's us. Sometimes we think it's our mate. Sometimes we think it's circumstances. But it's Satan. And when we see what it is, then we can take authority over it. But we have to do something. We can't just lay down and say, God, you do it all. He's not going to. He gave us the authority to do it. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And you've got to take that authority. And you've got to rise up and be strong. It takes strong people to build strong marriages. They don't just come, you know. Occasionally you see two people just come together and they just seem just to come together so well, and they don't have a lot of personality conflicts. They just go right together. They seem to be so totally suited for each other. But that's kind of rare. It's usually, you know, the people that are totally different that attract each other. And so then you've got to work those things out, and you've got to learn to live in peace and harmony with each other. And love begins in the home. Strong churches do consist of strong homes. And it's only as we are diligent, you know, in our homes and in our marriages that we are going to have strong homes. So don't panic. Don't give way to it. Remember John 14:27, the latter part of that. That's in the Amplified too. Don't allow it. Stop permitting it. When I saw that, it was just, I mean, immediately I took authority when God showed it to me, and it stopped, you know. And all this time I've been just crying and begging God to stop it all, and, you know, He said, you do it. I've given you authority to do it. I've done my part, now you do yours. Okay, number 8, keep a thankful spirit in the home. I don't know if you've been in homes where you hear a lot of grumbling and complaining and murmuring and just always something seems to be out of kilter. But you know that doesn't edify you, does it? It's not pleasant to be in a home like that. And it's up to us as mothers and wives to keep that thankful spirit flowing. If you'll set the pace, the other family members will, they'll come on into it. You've got to start it, though. You start pointing out the things to your family that you have to be thankful for. They might not have everything they want, but there are so many things to be thankful for. We can't even begin to name them. There's no way, you know. If you have a warm, clean bed to sleep in at night, that's something to be thankful for. If you have good, clean food to eat, if you have a car to drive, we should be thankful for these things. They don't have to be the latest models. They don't have to be the latest fashions. None of those things bring happiness. You know, it's true prosperity comes in your spirit. That's where that true prosperity is. And that's where you'll find that the joy and the peace is. It's not in things. But keep that thankful spirit in your home. Don't allow your children to murmur and complain. Teach them thankfulness. Did you know that complaining brings discouragement? It brings discouragement to people. It brings discouragement to a home. It brings discouragement to a father. You think of a father working and trying to provide for his family, and they're never satisfied with what he provides for them. Think how that must discourage a husband. That's really sin. So we need to just confess our complaining and our murmuring is sin. That's what kept the children of Israel out of the promised land. And that can keep us out of our promised lands too. We need to be thankful and to be grateful. There's a scripture in Proverbs that I read, Proverbs 11:29. Now it says, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. And I want to read it to you in the Living Bible. It says, the fool who provokes his family, now this could be a husband or a wife, who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. So when we murmur, complain, provoke, let these things in our home, we'll finally have nothing left, nothing worthwhile. We might have some other things, but they won't be anything worthwhile. So it's important. It's very important to keep a thankful, grateful spirit in your home. Encourage your children to every day say something they're thankful for. And you every day express something you're thankful for. And when you do it, you'll see that it'll start rubbing off and your home will become a very happy home. Okay, number 9. Don't build negative words on your marriage. Or negative mountains. I really wanted to say, don't build negative mountains on your marriage. So many of us have been guilty of that. And now that, you know, we're walking in the Word more obediently, now we're learning the power of our words. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when we realize that the words that we speak can minister death, or they can minister life to our marriages, then I think we're going to start being a little bit more careful of what we say, don't you? And Proverbs 6:2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Well, snared means a trap. So you can actually get your marriage in a trap simply from negative words that you say, such as, well, I just don't know. I just don't think my home will ever be a happy home. Those are negative words. You can say, the best thing to say I've found is God is working in my home. God is working in my children. God is bringing to pass His word in my life, my husband's life, my children's life, our home, our marriage. Say words that you want to get snared with. Think about it in that way. You want to get snared with the good words, don't you? You want to get in that good trap. That's a good one. So start speaking over your marriage. And a lot of times, it's not to do it to people. It's just to do it while you're in your home. And to say it, to let your own ears hear your mouth say that, to let your children hear your mouth say that too. God is at work in our home. God, the good work He started in our home, He's going to finish. That's Philippians 2:13. The good work that He started in us, He's going to finish. And you can quote that over your children, and you can also confess that over your marriage. He will too. If you believe it, you stand on it, you do what's right, you do the things that God has said to do. We know there are conditions with every promise, but when we do what's right, we know He's going to back His word up. Because there's not one good word of all of His promises ever failed. So don't build negative words on your negative mountains on your home or on your children. You know, it's consistency that causes us to win. Consistency. We can't do these things for one day and expect everything just to fall into place. We've been married 29 years, and you know, I wish I'd known some of the things that I know now. Because I probably could have done a little bit better, you know. I probably could have avoided some of the mistakes. But it's never too late. It's never too late to start. And start while you're young. Satan comes against you. He tries to tell you, no, it's never going to work. It's never going to be like you see somebody else's home and you think, oh, they have the perfect marriage, the ideal home. But you don't know what goes on within those walls, you know. We don't know. And all we're responsible for is our own actions. So when we do what's right, we can expect God to help us. And He will bring to pass what He said He would do. So be consistent. Okay? Number 10, pray the word over your home and over your children. I feel that this is very important to do it daily. And if you're not married yet, you can start praying it. You can start praying it over your prospective mate. There's nothing wrong with that. I know I've heard some people say that they started praying for their children's mates many, many years, even when their children were small, you know. Because God has that person. He's getting ready for your child. And so it's good. It's good to do that. So pray the word daily and be consistent in doing that. I want to give you some scriptures that are especially good, I feel, to pray over the home. And I'd like to stress too to pray these in the Amplified, because it gives you so much understanding on what you're praying. King James is wonderful and I love it, but the Amplified just amplifies the meaning, and so you'll get a lot more meaning when you pray these things. Okay, Romans 15:5-7. This is on the home or the marriage to pray. Romans 13:13. Proverbs 5:15-19. When you pray the word diligently and consistently, then finally, and you believe it, you have to believe it, finally that word will become flesh. It will actually manifest. It will actually come into being. You've probably all seen that in some area of your life where you have stood on the word and then you've finally seen it and manifest. And what a joy that is when that happens. You know, there's just nothing like the joy of seeing God do the impossible. Okay, Colossians 2:2. Philippians 1:27. And 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. This is the love chapter. And when we start confessing that we have that agape love, and we take no thought of a suffered wrong, and we have no resentment, no envy, no ill will, we don't gloat when we see, you know, someone fall, and we pray this over our home and we do it diligently, did you know that when you actually make a mistake, the word will rise up and it will correct you right then and there? I want to just give a little personal example because this was such a good example of the word correcting me. And it was so good because, you know, God's so faithful to his word. And when he sees your heart is honest, he'll be right there to help you. One day I was really kind of just aggravated, you know, about a certain situation in our home. And I thought, I really am tired of this. This is just ridiculous. This has gone on for so many years. Now, I'm just tired of it, and I'm just not going to do that anymore. It's a certain duty, you know, that I had that I should have been doing all along as a wife. And I had been doing it all along. But I decided all of a sudden, well, I was just tired of doing it. Just the same old thing every day. And you know, other people around here need to be more responsible. So I just really ugly my attitude, and I was just sitting there just thinking it, you know, one morning after Janet and Bob had gone for the day, and I was certainly letting the wrong thoughts come in. So all of a sudden, 1 Corinthians just 13, 4 through 8, just started coming into my spirit real strong. You know, you don't take account of a suffered wrong. Love doesn't. You know, you go the second mile. You do the things that God said to do in that 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And the word started correcting me. And I said, oh, Father, forgive me. I will do it. And I hopped up from there just very fast and went about my duties and had it done very quickly, you know. And then God brought another idea to me. These are your ways to minister to your family. Now, we should teach our children responsibility. We should teach our children to take care of their rooms and to keep things neat. That's part of our duty as mothers, you know, because if they're girls one day, they're going to be a wife. And if they're guys one day, they're going to have responsibility. So they need to know how to do things. But your duty as a wife may mean putting dirty socks into the clothes hamper. And it may be hanging clothes up. And it may be putting ties on the tie rack. And it may be things like that that you think your husband should be doing, you know. And you think, well, he should do that. One wife called me one day and she said, I'm so sick and tired of hanging clothes up. I'm just going to put them all in a big pile on the floor and just let him hang everything up when he came in. And, you know, her attitude was really ugly and really wrong. And I said, you are? And she said, yes. Well, she did because she was a very stubborn person. Well, of course, that didn't bring happiness, you know, and that didn't bring, really, her duty was to take care of the home. And sometimes it means putting clothes away, you know, dirty clothes or clean clothes and hanging things up. And so she really didn't profit from that at all. And the thing about it is, you know, it certainly didn't please God, her wrong attitude. So the word, and when you confess the word, the point I'm making, when you confess the word, the word within you will rise up and it will correct you when you need it. And nobody has to say anything to you. The word will correct you. So I hopped up and I did my duty. And I did it with a joyful heart too. So that's another thing too, do it with a joyful heart. And think about what you do in your home as ministering to your husband, ministering to your children. Think about it in that way. Minister means to serve. There's nothing really too glamorous about ministry. You know, you may prepare a lesson, stand before people and give it, but much more ministry goes on in the home and just in the nitty-gritty of life than ever standing before people. So it's so important to realize that. If I do this as unto the Lord, I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be rewarded. Even for taking my husband a cup of cold water or even a little child, I'll be rewarded because the word says, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, I'll be with you and I'll bless you for it. So if our attitudes have been wrong in that way, we need to change, don't we? And we have to correct ourselves. We have to judge ourselves. When the word comes and we judge ourselves and we do what's right, then God won't judge us. We've already taken care of it. God is such a gentleman. You know, He'll let us judge ourselves if we will. Well, that day when the word came and I judged myself, he didn't have to do it. No one else had to do it. So I thank God. You know, he's faithful. Okay, these are some scriptures for your children. Isaiah 65:23. These are also in the Amplified. Proverbs 22:6. Isaiah 54:13. I'm sure a lot of you know that. Great peace have they which love... No, excuse me, that's the wrong one. And all thy children shall be disciples, taught of the Lord, obedient to God's will in all things. Great is their peace and undisturbed composure. Now you can start confessing that, over those children, long before you see that come to pass. But in time it will come to pass. I know of a mother who started confessing that over a son who was on heroin. And it was about 5 years before she saw it come to pass. But now she's seeing it come to pass. And now that boy has become that disciple because she was steadfast to the word. She not only confessed the word, she prayed for her son. And God brought him in and he delivered him. And now he's a minister of the gospel. And now he'll go out and he'll deliver others, see? So it's important to pray the word over your children. And even if they're not disciples yet, you confess that they are. You're calling those things that be not as though they were. And eventually it will come to pass. If you believe in your heart, they will come to pass. Proverbs 22:6. I think I've already given you that one, haven't I? Okay, Isaiah 49:25. Proverbs 5:17. Isaiah 43:5. And Isaiah 29:22. There's one of those that says, I pray and I confess that I will never become pale with fear or disappointment because of my children's degeneracy. But when I see my children walking in the ways of piety and virtue, I will recognize your hand in their midst and I will revere your name. That means I will praise and glorify God for what he's done for my child. And there are times that our children, you know, they may go astray for a little period of time. But God says when we train them up in the way that they should go, they will come back. And then there will be a time that they won't depart from it. And they'll live lives that you will praise and glorify God for. Because I'm seeing that come to pass now with Susan. And there was a time with her that was difficult. You know, it was difficult. We had to stand in the gap. We had to make up the hedge because Satan made a bid for her. He tried so hard to destroy her life. But you've got to be faithful and you've got to stand in there and wait and pray and be diligent to pray the word over them. Be diligent to get up in the night and pray when the Spirit says pray. Be diligent to intercede. Be diligent to take authority over Satan and every plan and device that he's planned for their life. Be diligent to pray that no weapon that Satan's formed against your children or your husband will prosper. Because it won't if you'll pray that. And if you'll do the other things we've talked about, he won't be able to do it. He will not be able to do it. The last one was Isaiah 29:22. Then there's a favorite scripture that I have. I was thinking about it, and this is one that you just have to meditate on a little bit more. Proverbs 24:3. And since the home is the most important institution on the face of the earth, really, it does take a lot of wisdom, doesn't it? It really does. This scripture says, through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family built. And by understanding, it is established on sound and good foundation. Now that's a mouthful. I mean, you just have to take that apart and really think about it. But skillful and godly wisdom, and that's where we need to operate as wives, in the wisdom of the Lord. And there are times when we don't have that wisdom. But the Word says in James 1:5 that if you lack wisdom and you go to God and you ask Him for it, and nothing wavering or doubting, He'll give it to you. And then James 3:17 says, but that wisdom that's from above, that's from God, it's pure, it's peaceful, it's easy to be entreated, it's without partiality, it's without hypocrisy. And when you start applying those principles of the wisdom, of God's wisdom, to your home and to your children, then you're going to see God's wisdom work. And that's a daily thing too. You know, that's a daily thing. That's something we seek God for and confess that we have the mind of Christ, that we have that wisdom of God. For Christ Jesus is made unto you wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ has been made unto you wisdom. So you have part of that within you, see? And as you seek it, seek Him, seek His face, and do the things that we've talked about today, these are ways we can safeguard our home. And I tell you, if you feel like you don't have that wisdom, and you feel like you don't have that diligence, if you will start asking God for it, and believing God for it, and seeking Him, He'll give it to you. He wants you to have it even more than you want it. He wants you to have it. So God's good, and He has a good plan, and He has a good purpose for all of our lives, and for our children, and for our homes. And the safeguards I've given you today are what God dropped into my spirit to share with you when Bob asked me to take this segment of this time. So I pray that they'll be a blessing to you, and I pray that you'll be able to use them and that you'll be diligent in doing it. And I know that when you're diligent in doing it, you will see your home prosper and you'll see the blessings of the Lord abound. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah.